podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy 2023. With Dr. Mike Gustafson, I'm Aaron Dickens, and for the 18th time now, the program here, Tech Talk, wishing you a happy new year. And Gus, 2022 wasn't that bad. The ending was pretty dang good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That put a nice little dessert on that meal, didn't it? You
what's your preferred dessert for the holiday meals?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's never going wrong with ice cream.
Ice cream?
In my book, yeah.
No, even never, for like a holiday meal.
Yeah, you can never mess that up.
Oh, wow.
Just pick the event. But I'm just saying you can never go wrong with it. But
sure.
Probably over the holidays would probably be the time most likely to eat some pie or something. Pie would be involved.
Big time.
Yeah. But yeah. I you know, that Bowen had us feeling a lot like, I mean, it's a much different feeling because of the season, the totality of the season and the excitement over Coach McGuire and just all of those things. But it had us walking away from the season in a way akin to this time last year. Because, you know, God rest his soul, but this time last year there was a lot of folks happy that
sure
you kind of put the late stuff to, you know, to kind of quieted that down. And then, but yeah, you know, and I think, you know, I think the interesting takeaway from that is in the getting way ahead of ourselves category, but I guess that's the right thing to do, is we're still in the shadow of that bowl game and the bowl season. But by a nice convincing win like that over an SEC team at the end of the year, do you maybe start sniffing around at the top 30, top 25? You know,
yeah, possibly.
Yeah, maybe be in that 25 to 30 range.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way that you finished out this season, you've set yourself up for a very fun offseason,
mm-hmm.
a very, very fun offseason. And I would say, Gus, too, that and it's kind of hard to put your finger on kind of offseason momentum, and sometimes that doesn't pan out. Look at what happened between 2013 and 2014. This is about as... just speaking for myself, as hyped, optimistic, excited, enthusiastic,
yep.
As I've been since maybe after the 04 season or after the 07 season, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, 08 was obviously the big year, but you knew afterward that, okay, Graham's gone, Crabb is gone, yeah. Bunch of your own linemen are gone, you've got a heavy lift next year.
Brandon Williams.
Then shortly after the end of that season, which didn't end all that great with, you know, losing to Oklahoma the way you did and then losing to Ole Miss. And then shortly after that season, you had the first Mike Leach big contract dispute. People kind of forget about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to imagine or it's hard to believe, but this is true. You're more optimistic now.
Yeah.
Than you were at the beginning of his first season, which is normally kind of like peak optimism time for most
coaches.
Haven't
lost the game yet.
Exactly, yeah.
Sure.
Undefeated, you've done the chicken fry circuit, you've done all the media appearances, you know, all that stuff. Everyone is super behind you, and then, you know, once the games start, typically you kind of, you know, reality sets in, so to speak. But, you know, we're still dreaming. Like Pinchas, you went 8-5. You have a winning Big 12 record, back-to-back bowl wins over SEC teams, fourth place in the Big 12. You're going to be a dark horse pick in the Big 12 next year.
Yeah, four wins to end it. And that was when we kicked this around a little bit last week. It was the idea that this record wasn't unprecedented, but the four-game finish. You know, because even you and I talked about way back into the season about years that had involved really good starts that kind of
petered out.
And we went back into 98 and, you know, rattled off some of the Leach years and Cliff's year. And some of that stuff. But man, this thing, you know, it almost erases the fact that we were sitting here at 4-5 at one point. Now, bear in mind, we were at 4-5 going, okay, this is the point in the schedule to make some hay. Kansas at home, mm-hmm. in Ames, OU, none of which were gimmies, but it was, you know, it was a little less than the gauntlet that we'd just run, and took care of all three of those, and just, you know, on and on and on. And I guess the best news that we've gotten since you and I were together on the show is perhaps that Shuck will be back playing quarterback. I mean, that was just a nice little add-on to the bowl win. Like, oh, you know, everybody's kind of group texted, mm-hmm. and yeah, wreck them and guns up and all the little things that you do after a good win. And which my play there is to post the little walking video of the bells, the victory bells, because I'm kind of walked by there on my way back to the car anyway. And so it's like perfect, a little 15-second snippet of the victory bells. I don't need to gloat. I don't need to say anything. Just
sure.
Bing. Now, I wasn't there that night, but I've repurposed my OU victory bells. And, you know, but then after that, then you get the Shuck good news. And so, you know, you start to, you know, my mind starts to race a little bit. I mean, just given how, I mean, the fascinating part about his finish to that bowl game, you know, that was the most rushing yard since Rodney Allison for a quarterback, which blew my mind. I mean,
that's incredible.
Yeah, it really is, because Robert Hall ran around a bunch, and Robert Hall is the kind of guy that I can't point to a specific game. Who can forget the so-and-so game where he did such and such? But Robert was the kind of guy that could get out on a scramble
Makes
and go 70.
Sure.
Yeah, he could go 70 instead of just running it 20 times a game. And, you know, and so I could, if you told me that Robert had a game where he went 9 carries for 112 yards with a 70-yarder in there, I'd go, yeah. But regardless, Shuck, being the guy that, you know, halfway through September, the word was brittle and, you know, all the things. If thank goodness our text line isn't archived forever. But, you know, but he was throwing his body around like a fullback in that game in some respect. There was some sliding going on, but, man, he took on
some
hits.
Targeting.
Yeah. Yes.
He and it's. What I'm happy for Shuck, and I'm happy to eat some crow here too, because I was very skeptical of the whole Shuck, I don't know, experiment, or the you know, him as a player or his future here after he got some backup work against TCU and
sure.
against Baylor. It didn't look great in those
nope.
two games.
Nope.
But in his final four games, I mean, he had 260 yards on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Three touchdowns. And then, you know, passing, he did, you know, nearly 440 against Oklahoma, had a touchdown against Iowa State, and, you know, what was obviously a key X factor for you against Ole Miss, and he's back. And yeah. and he's not alone. I mean, you right. return so much now, even your punter. Like, how's that for a cherry on top of a cherry on top?
Yes, I agree.
You know? It's incredible. Again, it's almost like we're dreaming. And listen, you didn't win 10 games. I mean, we're not throwing a parade here, but it's just after the long decade that we've all largely endured, you know, this was a very welcome and nice change of pace. And like I said, like, get ready. You're going to be a dark horse pick, much like Kansas was a dark horse pick last year. We're just saying. Last season, I guess.
Yeah.
This current season. So.
Well, and the other little piece, I guess, that we got since you and I were together, Rusty Stats. I don't know. You and I might have had
yeah,
that
we knew
one.
That was coming.
But we got our receiver. We got our speed receiver
right,
last
right.
week.
And the extension.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we talked about, too. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, it's The Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. Time for some headlines, of course, the Texas Tech Red Raider basketball team. We'll look to even its Big 12 record today. They're hosting the third-ranked Kansas Jayhawks. Tip-off tonight, 8 o'clock at the USA. Our pregame coverage will begin for you at 7 here on Double T 97.3. Red Raiders riding a 29-game home winning streak. They'll put that on the line tonight. They're about 1 to 2 point underdog currently, which seems a little low based on what we've seen so far, but who am I to argue with our friends in the desert? The game between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals that was suspended last night after safety DeMar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest will not be resumed this week. That was announced today by the NFL. The league, however, has made no decision on resuming the game at a later date, and the Week 18 schedule remains on as scheduled. Panthers owner David Tepper has had a conversation with Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh about the opening that Carolina will have for the head coaching position once this season ends. The interview, or the conversation rather, was not characterized as an interview according to a source. Carolina right now is 6-10. They fired Matt Rhule following a 1-4 start. So going back to college, well, will be interesting. Although Harbaugh, having coached for a long time with San Francisco, not your typical college coach.
Coach the team to a Super Bowl.
Sure.
Yeah.
Finally, the NCAA Division I Transformation Committee is recommending more sport-by-sport governance, enhanced expectations for Division I schools to create a more uniform experience for athletes, and this is the big one, allowing 25% of teams in certain sports to compete in championship events. That would mean like 90 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and that's been kicked around, and I think this floated a little bit last fall, and the immediate thing we latch onto is a basketball tournament, but that would also apply to a tournament field of 90 something teams. Mm-hmm. and certainly what probably softball, soccer, volleyball. Interesting.
How would you feel about it from a baseball perspective?
You know, one of the things I've hoped for as something that we could look forward to over time was basically an addition of a week, and this is hanging on to the 64 team bracket, but essentially a first round of it adds an extra week, but the first round is basically number one hosts number 64, number two hosts 63, et cetera, all the way up to what, 32 hosting 33. The idea being that it would give
like a best of
best of three, like super regional.
Got it.
But it would add a week,
because
mm-hmm. You'd have 32 teams survive that instead of 16 teams. And it's really one of those things that you'll see people in around college baseball say, "Man, if you were president of the czar of college baseball, what would you do?" And that's something that a lot of people will throw out there, and he go, "Yeah, it'd be pretty cool, because then 32 teams would get the experience of hosting, basically every 1 and 2 seed in what we currently know as the regionals." So with that in mind, I was still hoping for that, and now you're going, okay, you're gonna have 96 teams, and so I can throw that plan in the trash. But I don't know. I guess you'd have to have 24-4 teams, or maybe some buys or something to get to that. But it'd be, the more participation, the better. Probably be more. I mean, anytime you expand a field, certainly in a sport like baseball, you'd have more upsets than ever. You know,
how do you think that like Ivan the Terrible or Catherine the Great or Nicholas II would feel about, hey, you know, the Russian Empire, failed state, you guys got overthrown. You know, you really totally botched it. But hey, at least your title lives on forever, well, at least so far, as kind of a catch-all term for HMFIC.
Wow.
You know? kind of good news, bad news, right? Like, hey, bad news is, your government, your empire, it crumbles. It just goes to pieces. But people say czar all the time.
Oh,
still.
Sure. Yeah, that's a... Yeah, because it's like the word, if it seems bigger. It's this word that's got a little juice.
Is it the Z? You think?
Yeah, it probably is. It's got a little. It almost sounds a little sci-fi ish, and you know, it sounds more hefty than president. What if I said, oh, if I was the chancellor of colonization, you go, yeah. If I was the president of colonization, emperor.
What about commodore?
I know you go emperor. Yeah, commodore. The emperor of without just.
Well, I think being one syllable helps too.
Yeah, I
think right. Because so Caesar, yeah. I mean, it's basically the Russian version of Caesar, but yeah. Two syllables.
No, that's right. Czar seems very.
It just has an aggressive pronunciation with it too. It's like czar.
Oh, I can't.
Sure.
I can't go against them. They're the czar. Right. I have to. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend Shelley. I believe that one of the Raymar hosts referred to Tyler Shuck as a saltine. Perhaps that made him a little saltier. I like Shuck. I like his demeanor. I said that after the Oklahoma game where he made those comments that had everyone up in a tizzy. I like that he's got some piss and vinegar to him.
Yes, sir.
I don't know that I've ever seen him smile.
Right there at the end of the bowl game.
Sure. But I think that he has, and again, this is not a criticism. I like this in a quarterback. He has some RBF. Like, he has quarterback RBF. Resting B-face. Surely.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I was watching.
I was going way dirtier.
I was enjoying the calculation.
No. Yeah. I was going way dirtier than that. After your HMFIC earlier, I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Head my friend in charge.
Yeah, sure. That's what you, sure. And that's why, you understand where here he goes again with another curse-filled acronym. Curse-implied acronym.
Acronyms once a segment. New one.
Nice.
All right. No problem. I got one teed up for 3:30. Although it's one that I use all the time. Because, he's probably very, I'm sure that he's super nice and friendly and extroverted, and you kind of have to be to play that position at this level, but man,
win the job.
If you look at him during a game, you think that he's just pissed.
Well, I'm right, okay,
it's like the angry version of Eli Manning, where every time you looked at Manning, it looked like he was pouting.
Yeah
he just looked pissed.
And that's just kind of his default, which is great, and I hope that he has great success in 2020.
I had, people come to me, and I don't like what he said after the OU games. They're talking about teammates and all. And I mean, you know what? I want that dude to have a Mason block size chip on his shoulder. The world is full of great athletes who have played with a chip on their shoulder. Michael Jordan famously, the ninth grade basketball coach that cut him or what. Yeah. I mean, still almost a Richard type move in his basketball Hall of Fame speech, that he's still dunking on that poor guy. But Bregman's got one.
Oh yeah.
And Bregman's still wearing his whatever number two jersey around or whatever, pissed that somebody didn't take him first. Brady in one of his deals, I can't remember which one, but over the last 5 years could, talked himself to the point of angry tears. To this day, with hands full of rings and over getting drafted in the sixth round or whatever. And so that's the kind of thing, and lots of folks have that stuff. Some teacher told them they didn't get their head out of their rear, they'd end up somewhere or whatever, and the rest of their lives. Great. And so because the thing I'm absolutely not doing is sitting out there going, man, if you said something about people down the hall and the thing, blah, blah, blah. As long as he's not a bad teammate, and nobody has said that about him, then what do I care? I mean, really, what do I care? What do I care if he's fueled every day by something somebody said to him? If it all funnels in the right direction for Texas Tech and for him personally and for that offense, man, get it, dude. I'm good with that. I mean, it's awful revisionist of the folks who have been really bothered by that to not think about the guy who so many of them defended as should be in the Ring of Honor, Graham Harrell, who double-barreled your – I don't know which side of the stadium you sit on, but one of these two quarterbacks double-barreled you.
Right.
So if you were okay with that, then I guess you can be okay with Shuck saying what he said.
There's no way that was 17 years ago.
I know, dude. Hey, did you see the tweet? We're we're as close to 1996 as we are 1997 as we are 2050.
Oh,
I think that's right. Yeah.
Well, as I contemplate my own mortality, more tech talk next.
Exactly.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'll have coverage of the Red Raider basketball team as they take on Kansas tonight, 7 o'clock here on Double T 97.3. Over on 100.7 The Score, we'll have a Cooper basketball girl-boy doubleheader. Girls up first at 6. Boys will follow afterward. Both teams taking on Coronado at Coronado. Would love to get your thoughts and comments on the H Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Somebody says this. Having beaten two SEC teams in a row when the postseason can't hurt where rankings are concerned. Rain says this, rolling through God's country, 4-6 ranch on the way to the Kansas game tonight. Somebody says this, is from our friend Mark in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Gus doesn't have to gloat. I live in Mississippi. I'll be gloating for the second straight year. It's pretty funny.
Yep.
T. Lee asked if it's a blackout tonight. I have received no apparel instructions for the game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So wear your flannel. It's a flannel out.
Yeah, I don't think it is, especially since, you know, you're over kind of the holiday break and they're not going to do any sort of out without all of the students here.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend Shelley. That Blur song, song two, was released in 1997. Yikes, seems like yesterday.
Oh, if I may clarify the tweet. The tweet was, now 2050, 2050, is as close as 1996. I kind of just put behind that hashtag perspective that, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that makes you feel. Because 2050 seems way off, right?
So I'm as close to... what, 66 as I am to 13.
The thing I'll do every once in a while is go back to a year like my, you know, whatever, senior year in high school, 1985. And I go, okay, that was 38 years ago. And then think about in 1985, if you would have gone back 30 years, it would have been, what, 1947, so it was a couple years after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient history, you know, back then, and now I'm going, whoa.
You know, not so like, ancient.
I know. Yes. So, yeah.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. How often do you receive apparel instructions, AD? Well, as a matter of fact, we have some new apparel instructions here. We have an official studio apparel sponsor. The folks at Signature Stag, rocking one of their shirts right now. It's super comfortable. Really like the fit. I'm excited to wear more of their gear in 2023.
Good looking swag.
I got
a shirt, and supposedly I've got a little pullover kind of like the one I'm wearing here from their, like, I'm on the wait list for it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I like the I'm wearing the Texas Guns Up logo deal. I really like the, I guess, the Raider red, the glasses, and then the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel like that would be as visible on television, so I opted against those. But those are really slick looking.
And so I saw the one that had someone called a mask instead of glasses.
That's fine. Okay.
And mustache all over the shirt, and I said, that's mine.
That's yours, yeah. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
And the other one's very prominent over there is the cactus.
Oh, sure. And they've got cross guns too. Yeah. A lot of slick gear there.
That's a cool place to I can imagine that Aaron Dickens doesn't do a lot of shopping.
I do our weekly grocery run every week.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Sunday mornings.
Also does his, seems, weekly stop at Ross Dress for Less.
That's where I was going. This seems like he'd be sort of low patience on the clothes thing.
Typically,
and all.
On clothes, I order online.
Yeah.
Right?
You know your size.
Sure.
Especially on shirts and stuff.
But I'll definitely be picking up more stuff from Signature Stag. There's no doubt.
That place is cool.
This is
and it's not all tech stuff. There's a bunch of tech stuff. There's a nice section of just good men's clothes. And yeah, that's.
This fits better than any other shirt that I've worn in recent memory.
Nice.
I'm like being dead serious.
Sure.
Like
not just shilling. You're not just a
fade
shill.
We could have stopped 2 minutes ago.
Yep, that's right.
And in fact, I don't know that we're even like. I don't know that we're like. Not,
I don't think so.
Not that we're not allowed, but I don't think that we were told to. Now, granted, I've been gone for like 5 weeks, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen a memo to that effect, and I don't think we're going to get the same reaction from this as we did our repeated French fry segments back in August that finally warranted, hey, fellas, knock it off. You just gave away thousands of dollars of advertising.
How about TCU, man?
Really happy for Sonny Dykes. I laughed several times over the week as one of the very last segments you and I had together, at least on our last full show, was your vegetables analogy. You said, "How are you? Who are you rooting for in all these bowl games?" And we went down the list, and you were like, "Man, rooting for TCU is like eating your vegetables, right? It's the right thing to do. It's good for you, but man, rather
it's
have
not
the
fun, yeah." And man, rooting for TCU is like kale, like mm-hmm. it is the most bitter, foul tasting vegetable that there is.
It was easier to take number one after our win. For sure. And it was easier. And then once they won that game, the beauty of it was at least to go, okay, well, now that we've eaten our kale, we can enjoy the surge of energy and
nice greasy cheeseburger
or whatever. But it was the enjoying the, because of the talk earlier that day, it was okay. Bama just smoked K-State. They belonged in this tournament. They belonged in the Final Four because that was sort of the talk. Like, mm-hmm. when the field of four was selected, that had Bama been in there, that Vegas would have had them as favorites, at least over 2 and 3, Michigan and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I can't remember right at, maybe even right there with Ohio State. And so, Saban commented on that and all that. And so, the fact that TCU went out and won that game at least allows that stuff to die down or at least refocus it onto the Big Ten sucks. well, good. They both lost, so you can they get everyone's ire as opposed to the Big 12 getting dumped
pretty,
on.
Pretty stinker bowl season for the Big 12. Now, granted, I feel
easier to take once we got our win though.
And no one's going to kind of like dive into it this way, but like you had an overachiever type team like Kansas,
mm-hmm.
right? Playing an Arkansas team that I think was interested in that game. And that was a whale of a game,
yeah,
too.
It was.
I don't know that Oklahoma really wanted to be at the Cheez-It Bowl,
mm-hmm.
right? So Florida State, meanwhile, playing in Florida, motivated. They're kind of on the come up.
They were in that game. They were the Texas Tech, the Texas Tech of the Texas Bowl, mm-hmm. or whatever, the Houston Bowl, was to what Florida State was, that home game and a team that's resurgent.
And very excited to be mm-hmm. in that game and play that game. In K-State, man, I mean, Lions Den meet Necklace. I mean,
yeah. Unfortunately, they got a motivated yeah. Bama team that wanted to be there because Bama's a couple of times in the Saban era that they get beat by OU beat him 1 year mm-hmm. and Utah beat him 1 year. That I'd have to go through that list, but every once in a while you can understand that
slipping.
Yeah, that team's played in so many high leverage just conference championships and all the things. That when they finally go, oh man, we got to go play in the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma, and then go out and just not be that excited and be loaded with a bunch of NFL draft guys and all that. they were engaged. You know, they obviously K-State got out to that 10-0 lead, and then Bama went, hold my beer.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I told you guys that K-State would get spanked. Let's see. Scroll. Yeah. K-State runs into a buzzsaw against Bama 6 days ago. Of course, I wasn't here. But yes, you did say that. Interesting comments in your history also about Britney Spears and her music library. Interesting. This from our friend Steven. Probably had some kale in my lunch salad. Eyes emoji. Will lose 50 pounds by wedding honeymoon in August. Guess who'll pig out on the cruise? Hey, mazel tov on the on the wedding. More tech talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. It's Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron with you until 6. Would love to hear your thoughts, comments, and concerns on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. This from someone on the chat line. Sorry, guys. Late to the party. Have y'all discussed Sark losing his mind on that poor bowl guy holding the Texas players at the tunnel? He should be ashamed.
Well, I kind of went off on it the other day on this show. Because I'll try to capsulize this, because the other day I sort of was fired up about it. But I think a couple things. First of all, it's a major Richard move. That dude's just who knows? He may be a volunteer, or just an events guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a, so there's one thing. The other thing is you're supposed to be a leader of men. I mean, think about it. In an hour and a half or so, as you watch that video, that's awesome. An hour and a half later, somebody on his team's going to late hit somebody. And that player's going to jog off on the sidelines, and maybe Sark goes, get yourself under control, or, you know, let's go, have some discipline or whatever. And like, really? Now, in fairness, that his team was oblivious to that. They probably didn't see that until the next morning on social when it kind of made the rounds. But it's just, you know, it's a horrendous look, because you're the head coach and acting like that. I mean, because there's no threat. The dude wasn't getting up in Sark's grill or anything else. He was holding him back. All that stuff scripted. You know, we're going to let Washington come out first at 8:02, and then at 8:02 and 30 seconds, we're going to let, you know, whatever. That's how that is at a bowl. And I think all he did was reach out, because I'm sure he was going, hey, Sark, if you wander off, they're following you. And then the avalanche is, you know, and – so the guy kind of pats him on the chest, like, hey, stay here, hang on. You know, the dude stepped back and sort of eye rolls him, and then gets up in his grill, you blankety blanker, like, get out of, dude. Even the ref was standing there like, easy. It's like I said, if you're preaching be calm and cool and, you know, play the next play type stuff, and that's how you act, I mean, you know, how do you take that if you're the player and he's chewing your butt for doing something, losing your cool, throwing a punch in a practice? A million push-ups for you, Dickens. If you're going to punch somebody on the same team, like, oh, really? You're preaching to me about keeping my cool. Is that right? You know, and I don't know. Maybe he's apologized for it, but I just think it's just a Richard of a move.
Yeah, it was unhinged. It's the same energy that you see when you – like, there was a lady in the Austin airport when the Southwest kind of meltdown was happening that went ballistic.
Throwing computers and all that stuff.
Well, and screaming at the top of her lungs, and it's just like, that's...
Yeah. And security came and hauled her off. Yeah. Like, she went to the Gray Bar Motel for a night because she was destroying stuff. It's the same clip you and I are thinking of. The one I saw, so, Lady just stepped around there and launched keyboards and threw monitors and all that stuff. Now, that scene might have taken place at 20 airports last week. But
see, I just can't. I can't understand that.
Like, yeah, I can't. Either.
I can
understand. Yeah.
There are some things where I go, you know what? I can see myself getting to that point. Not to that level, but
what's
just
the, yeah.
But
what's
like
the end?
But I what's threw a remote one time and it broke, and I felt like a total dumb idiot. Right. So it's like I don't do that anymore. I can't imagine getting to the point where you're in an airport tossing keyboards around.
Right. Now what? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, now what?
Hey, what's your end game here?
Right.
Like, what's the win? All right. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Sorry, guys. Let's see. So somebody asked about transfers. I'm trying to scroll for the deal. Sorry, I'm out of practice. This is from Tracy in Dallas. All right, boys, just tuned in. Any breaking football transfer portal news, good or bad? The most recent transfer portal news that I saw was Auston McNamara coming back. Now, you add Dre McCray from Austin Peay. He's a speed receiver for you. Probably, in an ideal world, would be a slot receiver for you, but I think that you'll play him on the outside as well. And he'll add, you know, hopefully another dimension to your offense. I think you certainly feel a lot better about your receiving core now going into 23 than you did about it going into this past season. You know, Bradley stepped up in a big way late. Monster game in the bowl game. Fungi has kind of come along. And I think you're still a little bit, you know, you have some depth questions. There's maybe a bit of fall off after that first line, but still it's way better than you were this time a year ago.
Well, the Fungi Bradley duo has stepped up in a big way, whereas the Sparkman Cleveland mm-hmm. duo has probably taken a step back. Now, is that permanent? Who knows? You know, those guys, I would assume those guys, Sparkman and Cleveland, will have something to prove in spring training, spring ball, you know, because they're adding bodies to that group. It's not like, well, all these other dudes are graduating, and so the time is now. I mean, it's you know, that's the big one. The other one, again, our texter may be up on this. It's not breaking, but the Rusty Stats, the center, which is supposedly going to let Wilburn move over to guard, Cole Spencer. Well, it'll be interesting to hear about that as we go through the spring, what his status is, because he was, you know, I mean, he was Tech's nominee for the Outland Trophy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for best lineman. And he hadn't played up down here, but whoever, Hamby, McGuire, somebody said, hey, there's our guy. So perhaps the best lineman we had on campus was hurt or never really, you know, his rehab never really sped along. And so two additions, both of them Hilltoppers, two guys with Hamby history, and grown men, old guys, fifth-year guys, six-year guys.
And this – all of these guys coming back, and for the texture, yes, McNamara is coming back. He's announced that on Twitter. They're this kind of bridge, right, that you weren't sure that you were going to have, because we know that help is on the way, insert Mrs. Doubtfire voice here, in the form of these recruiting classes that McGuire is stacking up now. And you just got to be a little bit patient with those guys, because freshmen don't walk in, especially on the lines, and start contributing right away as kind of plus players. And so now you have this extra bridge year where you're bringing so many super senior types back. You're bringing your starting quarterback back. You're bringing all these offensive linemen back. And I would even include Spencer in that, though he didn't play.
Right.
You're adding a guy like Rusty Stats, who's played in this system for this offensive line coach, for this offensive coordinator. It's gigantic, because, you know, at some point there's going to be, you know, you would think some kind of, I don't know, dip. When the older players exhaust their eligibility, but the reinforcements haven't quite aged up to the point where they can really help you win a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
And 2023 could have been that year. Right?
Yep.
But not now. I mean, you're bringing like 15 guys back.
Right.
In key spots.
And it's going to allow all those guys, you know, and maybe Baron Morton among them, to be a year older when the thing is theirs to inherit. And I'm not saying there won't be playing time for those guys or whatever. They become depth pieces, but it's the idea of a redshirt freshman starting versus a third-year sophomore starting. And by the way, the backup center in the game the other day was a true freshman for Tech, maybe. Yeah, true freshman, redshirt freshman, somebody that hadn't played all year. And I don't know if he ended up getting into the game. It was one of those subtleties that got washed away.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. Did Santa bring you guys what y'all wanted for Christmas?
Yeah. I mean, I was sort of I wasn't a Grinch this year, but I was. The thing I needed was a new laptop, and that's one of those gifts that Dana would be just, you know, I'm right. Not buying the laptop.
Sure.
And then let's, oh, y'all wanted a Bronco 7000, you know, and so I was like, hey, just don't spend a bunch of money on me. And I, you know, I got a book here and some stuff, so it was fine. The Christmas is all the various celebrations were great, but you know, so mine didn't feature a big.
So you're gonna start bringing the laptop in, or are you gonna stick with the Gus Binder 2000?
I don't know. I started on New Year's Eve the big backup, like the archive stuff, you know, which because I archived that to one external hard drive, and then I copied that external to this one over here, you know, like going all
contingencies contingencies,
going all IT nerd. And if you're really gonna do that. This is what I did with dissertation data. Of course, a dissertation all fit on a thumb drive. You give the thumb drive. You say, "Hey, Mom, keep this like at a different physical location so that." This was when Google Drives and stuff like that weren't as available 20 years ago. But yeah, you take that, and so that God forbid your house burns down, the dissertation data and, you know, the 140 pages. Draft number 17 are
that'd be a bad
else.
Day.
Like right now, I've got the two external hard drives, but they're within feet of each other, so I'm not doing a really good job with that. But all of that's about a 24-hour process, you know, copying to this and then copying that to there, and so you know, and then the conversion to the new. And so I'm still kind of messing with two computers because we've got an event in Omaha in, you know, less than a month. I got first pitch luncheon here in Lubbock.
You got to have a good time to swap laptops.
And part of it was New Year's Eve. I was like, I'm going to do this at the end of 2022, because part of it was we've had a lot going on, and now would be a bad time to have something happen. But there will be a better time probably into February. But, you know, we got first pitch luncheon 3 weeks from today. So I got a lot going on, so I'll probably be messing with two computers for another month or so. That's all right. That's a first world problem.
I think Gus just gave you a great name for the binder, the external hard drive.
That's right. I like that.
Nice.
Yes. Clint, did Santa bring you what you wanted for Christmas?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't really ask for much, but we got to go to the brother-in-law's. We got to go shoot some rifles and pistols and stuff. So
nice.
Got to
at go, each other? Got to go, or?
Yes. Yeah, we,
well, you
we
made
played a very
of,
dangerous version of laser tag.
You seem to have made it out okay. I hate to see the
I'll
other
just
guy.
Say I won.
I was going to say, if you lost, then you guys are... I don't know what you were shooting.
My family does Secret Santa, you know, nice. With each other, which is, you know, you're doing an Elfster, so you basically...
And you mean your family, like your Houston people.
Yeah, and so... I'm like, I would guess 95% of dudes, I have no idea what that I want, because I just... You know, typically I will just get it.
Sure.
So I asked for a weighted blanket.
Oh, nice.
You know,
I've
heard really good
things. I've heard good things.
You know, what else? That's not something that I would go out and buy. But, you know,
Yeah.
So I get that for my Secret Santa. I'm pretty stoked. Yeah. I have not slept under it one night.
Really? You just haven't had the opportunity try it yet?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's
been the wife.
Co-opted by the wife.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
It's my blanket now.
Well,
if you don't even get cold at night.
If somebody in the house enjoys the gift that much, in some ways, that's not the worst thing. It's better than the gift
it's better than getting shot at by my brother-in-law, but yes.
Yeah. It's better than the gift that just goes, yeah, no, nobody.
One-on-one bullet tag. Let's go. Well, see, what I thought you were going to say is Russian I got my roulette. Wife a weighted blanket for her birthday a few years back, and she loves it, but she was like, oh, you should try it. You'll like it because, right, it's supposed to help with, like, anxiety or different things like that. I have never
I wouldn't
more.
Know.
Right.
I haven't it's gotten to use it.
You're still riddled with anxiety.
Way to rub it in.
I can tell you from the couple of times I've tried it, I've never felt more anxious or suffocated than the weighted blanket.
Really? I'm not going to make it out of this thing alive.
Like, I'm drowning. This is what drowning without water feels like.
I think I saw a recall like before Christmas. Just happened to see one of the national newses one night, and it was a recall on a children's weighted blanket.
Really?
Because you can imagine.
Well, no,
the risk.
It's heavy as hell.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting you put a newborn under that thing you got, but whatever.
They like explode?
No, I think just kind of did the opposite of exploding. Just
this and the eighth
succumbed.
Center chat line from Raiders Dead. In 2020, all of us kids pitched in and bought a nice Apple computer to upgrade our parents' Windows Vista rig.
Oh,
wow, that's
nice.
An old one.
Yeah.
My stepdad looks like an IT pro because he's still running two different machines in his spiny chair. It's hilarious. He won't give it up.
That's hilarious. That is beautiful. Yeah, I know. I'm better than that about it. I'm just it really is a more of a timing issue than anything else. I know that won't be the first thing I'll do on February 4th as I'm flying home from my boat. I've got to get home and archive this computer. But it'll be the sort of thing that I can put the other one in the rear view.
This in the chat line, AD, please help your man set up a OneDrive or Box account so his files can be in the cloud.
Well, I am a pretty good user of Google Drive because I do share them. I mean, the board of the active part of the CBF, the part that's really engaged on this event. Let's see, there's people in Omaha, Lubbock, Texas, Connecticut, and... Tom is in
Anchorage.
No.
San Juan.
Where's the Atlantic 10 office?
Santa Fe. Wait, what'd you ask?
Philadelphia.
The Atlantic 10 office. Where would that be? Virginia?
Charleston.
Newport News.
Blacksburg.
It's Newport
Virginia?
News.
Okay.
Yeah, Virginia.
So, yeah.
That's on the tip of my tongue.
So, us sharing documents, we're doing that pretty well. But there's so much video in the stuff that I'm archiving, I can't just throw it up on the Google Drive. 15 gigs, not going to touch it, because so much of what I've got is stuff that will be... I mean, as it stands, I'm sort of the College Baseball Hall of Fame in certain respects. My computer holds a lot of the electronic resources, if you will, and so the video clips of Todd Helton are 15 gig, you know, and so that's why my... Back. That's why I can't just dump it into the old...
like a whole server wreck, it sounds
well,
like.
Well,
and that's
not,
like a business card worthy, by the way. I am.
Yeah. my Todd Helton video collection.
I am about to not be, but yeah, that's... Yeah, we're... Yeah. We'll get in 3 weeks from today, first pitch of lunch, and got Josh Young lined up for
How
that.
How about that?
And Emily's flying in, so yeah, that'll be... We'll
it's
chat.
It's going to be here before you know it.
I really will. That's... Yeah, if you are listening and you're a normal table buyer for the first pitch luncheon, we just have 225 or so. Nice little crowd. You'll be getting something in the mail from us this week, so y'all be looking for it.
Raider's dad corrects me. He said it's not a spiny chair, it's a spinny chair.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, boy, that is...
In my defense, he texted an S-P-I-N-Y. So I don't.
Yeah. I read it as spiny as well.
Okay. It would have
I figured
to be,
it was like an ergonomic deal.
It would have to be SPIN-Y to maybe make that work and not be spiny.
Sure.
If he goes dash Y, then I could go, okay, spinny, got it.
But isn't spinny chair kind of like, you know, an oxygen, like, are they all spinny chairs? But like, can you buy an office chair that doesn't spin?
No, not anymore.
You got to go searching for
it.
You
just go get one from the kitchen table. But you also,
this is my office stool.
And you'll be looked at crazy if you go into a store and be like, where are your non-spinning office chairs?
I have really bad vertigo. Yeah, I don't need to spin.
That, like a modification, please.
That you described, though, of retired guy hanging onto the Vista computer because it's got whatever, you know, and working two computers and all that stuff, that there's a character right there. I mean, we can all sort of think about that, you know, we can...
As I get older, I can relate to that more and more.
Yeah, sure. And my dad is still, you know, my dad, I don't think, has even touched cloud-based any of that stuff, other than what's sort of been forced on him by an email server or whatever. But, you know, dad's, oh, I got the, and it's like, I can tell he's a boomer that grew up in the muscle car era, because it's, I got a 17-incher and a rah, rah, rah. And it's all about juice, megahertzes, and power, rah, rah. And I'm going, you don't carry that thing around like I carry mine around every day. So I'm the op. I'm
25-pound laptop.
Yeah, I'm driving the little Toyota, and he's driving the deuce and a quarter.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining today until 6. Love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3. com. This on the chat line, Dickens, you forgot your profane acronym in that segment. My apologies.
First failure of 2023.
First of many, I'm sure.
Didn't take
This is actually my favorite. I use it often. So if you have listened to this show for some time, you won't be new to this, but it's AMF Yo-Yo. And the best part about this is that it can be family-friendly, and it can also be not so family-friendly, because it's adios, my friend, you're on your own.
Or
something else. Use your imagination. You know, you mentioned Baron Morton a second ago, and I'm curious... We saw a lot, and granted, we saw this during the season as well, but it was a bit different when it was Baron Morton and Donovan Smith, or Tyler Shuck and Donovan Smith, right? We saw a lot of Tyler Shuck and Baron Morton on the field at the same time, especially it seemed like in the first half. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the second half, that kind of, they just played regular football. I don't know that I love that, you know, like it worked on the initial touchdown, right, with the Baron and Morton. He goes under center,
yeah,
goes on his tippy toes, direct snap to Shuck. But it seems like you didn't have any issues running with Shuck out of traditional formations,
right,
against Ole Miss. And part of me wonders, okay, is this primarily an exercise, a vehicle to get Morton on the field more and get him and keep him engaged and keep his name out of the portal? If that's the case, I don't like it, but I understand it. Or is this some kind of like deep philosophical commitment by Kittley and therefore McGuire to try and explore if you can exploit some inefficiencies by having two quarterbacks on the field at the same time? Right, and if that's the case, again, I don't necessarily like it, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I agree, and I wouldn't put it past either one of those scenarios being, you know, there being a grain of truth to both of those. I think on a fourth down miss, didn't the fourth down miss involve Baron's overthrow in the end zone?
Sure. Well, you had the Baron overthrow, and then you had also the Shuck throw to Baron that was intercepted.
Yeah.
It was just on a rope, and it Probably if Chuck had to do it over again, maybe a bit more arc on it.
And that was the point in that game. That's been a while to really dissect that. But that, you know, I'm like, man, those are
still kind of in the balance.
Yeah, the red zone misses were starting to add up. Like, man, you just don't want those kind of things to be later on going, oh my gosh, we didn't even get three out of that. And I'll bring it to an analogy and something we don't want to talk about that's very relevant tonight. You go in the other day at half in the basketball game, up 11, having missed four technical foul free throws at that point. I think all four of those were in the first half, I think. Two of them by a guy that's 45 for 50 on the year in free throws. Now, the football example of this is that, hey, it didn't matter because what you were more or less in the course of doing was sort of dominating them in a sense, not in a huge stat way, but with the five turnovers and some of those things. But the basketball deal 100% came back to bite, you know, Tech in that loss at TCU. But early in the game, like, hey, we're up 11, but man, a couple of those free throws would have been nice, or that missed layup would have been nice, you know. And it ended up feeling like missed opportunities. But I think back to your original point, the Baron Morton deal, you know, I mean, the stage is legit set for him to have the show for 2 years. I mean, like, be the guy this time next year.
Well,
we're looking forward to the Baron Morton era.
And, I mean, the reality of, hey, how many teams around the Big 12 had their preseason starter play all 12 games or 13?
Yeah, sure.
And that list is very, very short. And, heck, the team playing for a national championship from the Big 12, they're not playing their opening day starter quarterback. Duggan was not the guy to start week one. That was the Morris kid who transferred from Oklahoma. This on the chat line. Dickens only likes talking Tech football, nothing about men's basketball. Well, I mean, I've been gone for 2 weeks, give or take, and I've, you know, had to kind of stew on all the football stuff for a long time. And listen, there's really not much fun to talk about with that men's basketball team right now. They collapsed against TCU. We just talked about it. They missed a ton of free throws. And they're staring down the barrel of 0-2 tonight, even though that line is oddly narrow.
It's creeping toward Tech. Went from 2.5 to 1 today. But, yeah, the 23 turnovers and just, you know, the interesting thing was that game was, it felt like it was played a couple of times because, you know, I always joke around with this with friends of mine about just Big 12 basketball, and it's a compliment to the league. You know, it doesn't matter what the score is. With 5 minutes left, they're going to be tied, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just so rare. I mean, all the time you'll see a game get out to a 10-point lead, and then you get down to 7 minutes left, and here we go. You know, you're trading. And it's just a product of a good league, but you know, Tech up 11 at half, come out and just lay an egg, and then go back up 9, and okay, all right, may have weathered that storm, and then just lay an egg. Like the rash of turnovers right there was painful because so many of them were just, you know, here comes the double team trap. Okay, and there's a steal, and then here's the pass to nobody picked off going the other way.
Those Man. Are the what are you doing plays.
Yes,
when you're sitting at home, or if you're at the game, and you're either yelling or asking, saying to yourself, what are you doing? Like, what is? And that's like, it's one thing to be limited, right? Last year's team was limited offensively, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They just you couldn't shoot reliably from the outside. You didn't have someone that could reliably create for you, for whatever reason.
Yeah, that team was a brick wall defensively.
But
yeah,
they played their asses off,
yep.
And you could count on that defense showing up night in, night out. It wasn't always good enough, right? But they played really, really hard. They took care of the basketball, and they really excelled at what they, you know, were good at. This team is not. Like, they turn the ball over at an alarming clip. As you said, a high number of them are really unforced errors. What are they really good at? And I recognize, you know, they're young, et cetera. That's fine. I'm not burning anybody in effigy, but I don't have to like fake enthusiasm or like optimism when we've had half a season to look at. Now, granted, you only had non-conference, but it's not like you've just blown through the non-conference either. So pardon me if I'm just a little bit pessimistic about your Big 12 chances. And heck, we had that conversation a few weeks ago. Well, probably more than a few. Hey, would you take 8-10? I sure as heck would take 8-10 right now.
Yep, I agree. And
run.
Yeah, and I think this team's got going for, they're better shooters, and there's a Davion Warren in there. But man, after that, it's thin.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.